Welcome to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. My name is Brandi Gilmore, and after recovering from my own life-changing injury, it's become my mission to share with others the same discoveries I made that changed my health and my entire life. Our minds are truly incredible. The placebo is proof of this. Each week, I will take this simple awareness to a whole new level. I will even coach live callers to free themselves of physical pain using only their mind. And then I'll provide you with a combination of practical and spiritual insights that you can use to master your mind, your emotions, and your energy to help you heal your health, yourself, and your life. Let's begin. Hello and welcome back. It is so wonderful to connect with you. I hope this finds you doing well. And again, even as I say that, I know that everybody's life is all just going through a different place right now. I know we're all kind of experiencing the same types of things, you know, with this whole COVID thing. And then, of course, everybody's personal situation is so much different depending upon what country you're in, even what state you're in here in the U.S. I mean, every area has been being, you know, run a bit different. But either way, I don't want to talk so much about the COVID thing. Okay. But either way, I hope you are doing well. And really quick, actually, just actually kind of a quick note on the whole COVID thing. I have to say, I know that for a lot of people, this has been really hard and stressful and emotional. And I mean, just so many different emotions. And again, you know, if you listen to my podcast a while back when this whole started, you know, definitely the goal is to make it life-changing, how to make this time life-changing. And even as I looked at the collective energy on this, you know, whether people wanted to or not, there has been such an energetic shift. I mean, just even here in the U.S., from there was used to be like a lot of energy of people not wanting to work. And now, I mean, as you can obviously imagine, people are wanting to work. People are feeling grateful for their jobs. And so that is a factor. Or people are even caring more about their loved ones and making a point to connect. And don't get me wrong, I know there also are hard situations where people are really having a hard time spending so much time with their loved ones. They feel cooped up and it's hard on relationships and all of that. So I know that there's that going on as well. But again, not wanting to dive too deep into the whole COVID thing, I want to talk about healing and the power of your mind and energy and all that. So that's where I want to go. But just as a quick closing note on that part, you know, whatever shift that you have made, maybe it's one of appreciating life more, maybe it's one of enjoying what you do and appreciating having a job and working, or maybe it's one that has been like, you know, just a pause and a wake-up call to say, all right, let me just pause and look at my life and realize, you know, now is time for me to live my life to the next level. And maybe you, you know, have written down a whole list of things, of all the things that you want to do, which is something that I did. Like, even when I was going through my injury, after I got better, I was like, you know, all of these things that I always wanted to do, you know, that I was going to do someday, quote unquote, I made a list of those. And as I got better from my injury, I was like, okay, let me start doing all of those things. And so maybe that's something that you've done. And if you haven't, I highly recommend it. You know, it gives you something to look forward to. And also, it feels good to really start doing those things. So maybe that's it for you. And I know that even as I say that, I know that there are a lot of people that are having, you know, a rough time and in the heaviness right now. And so maybe that's even where you want to go, is writing down all of the things that you want to do moving forward. So it does give you something to look forward to and go, you know what, I'm going to lift myself. I'm going to take my life to the next level. And this is what I'm going to do. You know, that is what I did. I was like, okay, I'm going to get better. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to use my thoughts to change my life, my health. And of course, none of that initially made any sense to me whatsoever. But obviously, here I am. I mean, it changed my entire life. And so that said, let's dive into that. Let's shift gears to the power of the mind, healing, changing lives, all of that. Let's do that. So on today's topic, I did bring on a volunteer who is experiencing pain. She's had fibromyalgia for most of her life. And so that's where we're going on today's episode, is releasing pain. And as you probably know, if you've been listening to past episodes, that I never really consciously pick the topic of the episode myself. It's always divine timing. And with that, today's episode, as I start working with our volunteer, is really focused around a lot of feelings of perfectionism, of needing to be perfect. And if not, then there's a lot of guilt around it. And so those really are what we're targeting and going to be working through, and also looking at, of course, how the mind affects the physical body. And I also love about this episode that, you know, a few things. I mean, you'll be able to see how different emotions come in, like how there's different layers as you work with your mind. And so that will be great. Another thing that I like is this, is that a lot of times on these episodes, I'll use the term of, you know, energy or universe, divine, whatever you want to call it. And that's what I'll say, you know, whatever you want to call it. And that's because everybody does have a different terminology. Some people call it the divine or God, universe, you know, all different types of names come up for higher power. And so in today's episode, I love this woman uses God a bit more, which is beautiful. I love that because I have to tell you, one of the things that I've been really passionate about is people coming together with the same terminology. Of course, you know, it's, of course, to each their own of what their higher power is, you know, and whatnot. But what was interesting to me is that when I was going through my injury and I was laying in bed in extreme pain, trying to figure this all out, I started looking, of course, I was looking at, like, I was buried in, like, books. I had books, like, all next to me on the nightstand, on the side of the bed, or, like, the other half of the bed was all a ton of books. I was researching everything that I could find, have anatomy books, looking at, okay, how am I going to figure this out? How am I going to get better? And when I even started looking at the mind, I mean, of course, the placebo was kind of like my gateway drug to start looking like, hey, things aren't making sense. And two of the things that were most profound to me were, you know, amputees, because I was in all this pain. And I was like, well, wait a second. How is it that more than 80% of amputees still have pain? And so that was a bit like confusing to me. I was like, okay, well, WTF, right? And then even the bigger one for me was MPD or DID now, whatever you want to call it, but multiple personality disorder. When I started looking at that and realizing people could have different pain and different ailments, different asthma, body temperature, you know, all of these things, allergies, different allergies when they're in different personalities. And I was like, wait a sec, this does not make sense. Like with everything that our medical system tells us and everything about conventional way of thinking, it is impossible for somebody to go through different personalities and have a different allergies or asthma or, you know, pain or all different types of things. And I was like, something is wrong, you know? And so either way, I started looking even more and more into the mind, and every religion talks about healing with the mind. Even, I mean, if we even look at conventional medicine, of course, you know, we know that stress affects the body. We know that, but there was metaphysics, quantum physics. You know, there's, of course, the placebo. Then there's the Bible. And even the Bible, quote in the Bible, mentions a merry heart is a medicine to the body. Ill thoughts will dry the bones, which is like saying stress and negativity affects the physical body. Now, that's very simply put. And a few things on that. I mean, first and foremost, anybody can be stressed. And it doesn't mean that they're going to get sick right away. So there's obviously key things that are going on in the mind. So there's that. The other thing is that we need to remember that stress is emotions. Emotions are energy. And so really what we're looking at, of course, is energy, the energy of the body coming from thoughts and emotions and different things like that. So either way, you'll notice in this episode, she uses the name God a bit more. And of course, I match her with that because to me, it's all the same. And I know kind of what I love about that is this, is that, you know, a lot of times we're using universe, divine, energy, or whatnot. What I love about it is this, is that ultimately, the reason I started this podcast is I'd love to see, you know, I'd love to see healthcare change. I'd love to see consciousness around our health because so many people are sick and they're tired of being sick. And I know me personally, I was, and more people getting sick and all of that. So we need a change. I mean, it's not just me saying that. We can look at it and seeing things are not in a great place when it comes to healthcare. And it's a real burden on people's lives and also on our culture. And so I'd love to see that change. And really, ultimately, to make a real change, I mean, two things would really need to occur. And it would be, first and foremost, people being able to see that we can get results using the mind, which is, of course, one of the reasons that I'll take volunteers with all kinds of things and show them how to create physical changes using only their mind. Because I want people to see you can get results. And I want them to become like a new norm that, hey, we can do this and that everybody should know how to use their mind. So that's the first thing. The other thing is that to create a cultural change, it's estimated that about 25% of a population need to be able to really look at that shift, you know, to be able to think in a different way. Now, what's great is that more and more people are waking up to the awareness of the power of the mind. I mean, more and more people hear all the time going, oh my God, this is amazing that you can actually release your pain or make physical changes, you know, and just in general, you know, mindfulness, all of that. So I love that. But also when we look at it, some people are saying, you know, oh, it's God or oh, it's Jesus, it's Buddha, it's metaphysics, it's quantum physics, it's stress, you know, and everybody's kind of using a different label for it. And what happens is to be able to make that 25%, to be able to shift consciousness, it would take a long time since everybody's got different terminology. And so, of course, I love that it's a bit of a mixing pot where we can all see, you know, whether you call it God, universe, divine, energy, whatever you want to call it, it's freaking powerful and it's freaking amazing. And so that said, let's get ready and go ahead and dive in with our volunteer. Her name is Marilee. You're going to love her. She's absolutely a sweetheart, and she has been experiencing pain and a lot of health issues again for more than half of her life. And so we're going to go ahead and dive in with Marilee. Hello, how's it going?
Better now. I was up late last night again dealing with stuff. My mother's finally home, so that's hooray. My prayers have been answered. She's doing better. Praise God.
Oh, praise God. I love that. I love that. I love that. Wonderful. Happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful. And so, and what's going on with you?
Well, I have right hip pain right now and some neck and shoulder pain.
Okay.
I have, you know, the fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, problems with sleep.
Okay.
And then I have irritable bowel syndrome too. So, okay. GI pain and diarrhea off and on.
Okay. And bingo. And if I ask you the one that's bothering you the most right now, what would you say that is?
Probably my right hip.
Okay. First and foremost, 0 to 10, what's your level of pain in your right hip?
Oh, probably maybe a 3 or 4.
Okay. And bingo. All right. And when were you diagnosed with the fibromyalgia?
Gosh, I'm 63 and it was probably maybe when I was 28.
Okay. So a day or two ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been dealing with pain all of this time, correct?
Yes.
Bingo. What I see is I see that at age 23, it feels like Feels like you feel like you made a mistake, like you did something wrong.
Yes, I married the wrong man.
Okay, and if I ask you his first initial, what would you say that is?
M.
Yeah, bingo, bingo. Okay, and bingo. And what would it take for you to forgive yourself for that?
I wasn't aware that I didn't forgive myself. So I guess just to realize that I'm human and that God loves me just the way I am.
Bingo. And I love that. I love that you're human and God loves you exactly the way you are, which is beautiful. Bingo. And bingo. So did you do better on the next marriage?
Oh, absolutely.
You did, didn't you? Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yep, beautiful. And bingo. And if I ask you, bingo, it's like this feeling of feeling like you're still punishing yourself from age 23.
Hmm.
If I ask you why you're still punishing yourself, why would you say that is?
Maybe because I feel like I'm not living a life that where I'm able to help other people as much. I mean, I was working as an occupational therapist for about 20 years, but then I had to medically retire. So I guess there's some part of me that says I'm not worthy because I'm not contributing enough to make other people's lives better.
Okay. And bingo. Bingo. And can you say the first initial was, can you say the M again for the first initial? Can you say his
yes.
name?
Yes, Mark. Was Mark.
Bingo. Bingo. Okay. And did you have any kids or think about having any kids at that time?
Yeah, I did, but he didn't want to have children. So, but I have two twin daughters now that I have that are 28.
Okay. And so, bingo. And so that was the first time you got pregnant was with them?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Bingo. And did you think you were pregnant before that?
No.
Just wanted to. Bingo. Bingo. And if I ask you how bad you always wanted to be a mother, how bad would you say that was?
There was a fear of becoming a mother because I didn't know with my illness if I could handle it. And there also was question of, am I going to be as happy with kids as I was without kids?
Right, right. Yeah. I love that you have twins. I love that you have twins. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Give me one second. There's just, there's energy around them also. And so give me one second. It is.
Yeah, when they were younger, I had more problems emotionally and with my fibromyalgia. And I went through all these treatments and different drugs and stuff. And I felt guilty because I wasn't the mother that I wanted to be when they were younger.
Okay. Bingo. And if I ask you, how much of your life you have felt guilty for things like not being the mother that you wanted to be. And if I ask you how much you felt that way in your life.
I probably felt that way since I was a kid because my parents were very perfectionistic and hard driving and I was Bingo. Never good enough.
Bingo. Bingo. Okay. So that's where it's coming from. And then not marrying the right guy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Bingo. Okay.
Yeah, my parents approve of that marriage.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for just a moment. And if I ask you to notice how much you've had this pattern of feeling guilty for not being perfect, if I ask you to notice that, how much can you find that pattern? And if I ask you to notice the feeling of it, 0 to 10, what is your level?
Probably a 10.
All right, so let's go ahead and pause it just for a very quick moment. I want you to notice for a moment, I mean, her level of feeling guilty for not being perfect and punishing herself for it is a level 10. So that's really high. Now, most people's isn't that high, even if they have this pattern. You know, hers is really, really high. And you'll see why that is as we continue to go. There's been some trauma around it and whatnot. So you'll see why that is. But in your case, you know, your health issue may or may not have to do with this, because when we're hard on ourselves, we're punishing ourselves, we're, you know, not perfect, you know, for being not perfect, all of that, it's really hard on our system and on our energy. And so it may or may not be, but even if it's not the thing that's affecting your health, I see perfectionism and feelings of punishment, self-punishment and guilty for not being perfect affects people's lives in all kinds of ways. I mean, everything from health, of course, but also in just stopping them from doing the things that they want to do, or even living a full life, or even feeling like they deserve to live a full life. You know, I see people who have been living in punishment for a long period of time. And even if you think about it for a moment, I mean, here with Mara Lee, I mean, she's been sick for over 30 years, you know, the majority of her life. And so, you know, I know that me going through my issue, 7 years felt like a long time. And of course, everybody's situation's different, but, you know, I'd love to see her change this. And so, of course, we're going to talk more about this, but if you have this in your life, whether it is the connector to your health issues or not, you'll definitely want to change it. Because when I work with people to help them shift different things regarding this topic, just the awareness, the amount of life that they live and allow themselves to live just expands exponentially. And not only that, but also how much they enjoy life itself and feeling like they can enjoy life. It's interesting, but really at a subconscious level, it can impact a lot of people even more than they realize. And so, you know, obviously she has several health issues going on, everything from fibromyalgia to chronic fatigue syndrome to IBS and pain in her neck, pain in her hip. I mean, a lot of different things going on. And so ultimately, we're going to help start to create that shift. And so that's where we're going. And of course, as we dive back in, you'll start to see why she has a lot of hangups around perfectionism. And so that said, let's go ahead and dive back in. And if I ask you how old you were when it started, how old were you?
I was probably at 10 or 10 years old or earlier. I can remember specific things happening at age 10.
Okay. And I get about age 4 when I feel in. Okay. So, but yeah, so as you said, way back to childhood. Bingo. And if I ask you why at age 10,
I remember I brought home a C- on social studies. My mother threw a fit and said that she acted like I had committed murder, and she made me bring my book home every day and study with her for hours and hours until I was crying. I was so tired. And then she'd say, okay, take a bath or a break and come back and we'll study more. So.
Okay. And anger. And so just for a moment, I want you to think about all of the other perfect people who have never made a mistake. So I want you to think about all those wonderful people. And could you start naming them, please?
There aren't any.
What's that?
There
aren't any. Okay. Right. But you should definitely be that.
Absolutely.
And you should feel terrible if you're not that. Yes, that's exactly. Now, I mean,
right?
Yeah, I mean, this is all logical, completely.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And bingo. And so just for a moment, I'm going to ask you to notice the part of you who feels like you should be perfect.
Got it.
And like all of those other people who are perfect and have never made a mistake. I want you to be just like all of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you to breathe for just a moment. And how soon till you're going to become like all of those perfect people who have never, ever made a mistake?
I'm just like everybody else, I guess. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, I'm sure your daughters have never made a mistake, right?
Right. Never.
Never. But now that they did make a mistake, I'm sure you hate them for it, right?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So just for a moment, can you take that in that nobody's going to hate you for a mistake? Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to hate you for a mistake. And secondly, can you take it in your strive for perfection and needing to be perfect is really, really overrated. And I'm going to ask you just for a moment to breathe. And would you say that the majority of time that you've showed up with good intentions, that you have good intentions in life?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So if I told you that your daughters aren't going to be perfect, they're going to end up making mistakes, but they have good intentions, what would you say about them?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that. Yeah. They're good girls.
They're okay. Would you say, oh no, you have to be perfect. What the hell is wrong with you?
Nope. No, I would not.
Okay. And so would you say that to Marilee?
I can say that to Marilee. You don't have to be perfect. You're good and worthy just as you are.
Okay. So if you knew for the next 5 years that Marilee was going to like just have great intentions and be, and really have great intentions and maybe might make a mistake here or there, but has good intentions and she's going to do her best, what would you think about her?
I think that she's a good person.
She's a good person. Just for a moment, can you take that in?
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to think about how much she should be bogged down with guilt for any mistake that she makes that's not perfect.
Never. It's just a waste of time and draining.
What's that?
It's draining to do that and a waste of time.
Totally. Can you take that in?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I ask you over the next 5 years or 10 years, how much you want to waste time feeling bogged down with feeling guilty for this and that and blah, 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 blah. How much would you want to waste your precious time that God has given you here?
I don't want to waste any of it.
Okay. So God gave you the gift of life, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so you said, okay, well, with this gift, I'm going to spend it feeling really guilty for everything that's not perfect.
Yeah, I did do that, I guess, but I don't want to do it anymore.
Okay. And it's not necessarily that you did do it or didn't do it, but moving forward with this gift, the gift of life for the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 40 years, how much of that time you want to spend feeling guilty for some imperfection?
I don't want any of it to be spent that way.
Okay, great. And so just for a moment, can I ask you to take a moment and acknowledge yourself for having good intentions, that you actually really have good intentions and that you're a good person?
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I'm going to ask you to take that in and feel that. And imagine for a moment the next 5 years, 10 years, instead you're like laughing and enjoying and having a lightness and not always like terrified to live in perfection, but living and just knowing every day you have good intentions and that you're a good person and laughing and enjoying and loving life. What would that look like?
Wonderful.
Great. And bingo. You know how we've all heard before, God would like to give us the gift of life and then we should feel terrible the whole time we're here, right?
I think I've heard that one before.
I don't think I have either. But I'm just making sure because it seems like something you might have ascribed to. And I love that you have a great sense of humor. I love that. I love that. So I'm going to ask you just for a moment to breathe. Bingo. And what would happen if you felt less stressed about perfection moving forward and more aware of the fact that you have good intentions and a good heart and that you're a good person? All All right, so let's take just a quick pause. You know, when you think about it for a moment, there is a cliche in healing that talks about forgiveness. You know, you'll hear people talk about that. But a lot of what I see really has to do with, on some levels, of also making sure to have a forgiveness of self. So a lot of times we can be our worst critic, or we're holding on to something from the past, you know. And so that's why I wanted to take a moment, is if there is something that you're holding on to, that you're beating yourself up for, you're feeling bad about, whatever it is, then I'd highly recommend to make the decision to let it go completely, to forgive and forget, to let it go, to process it, move through it, and really fully release it. Because, you know, all of the time I see it affect people's health and people's life in one way or another, even when they don't even realize it. And so that's my biggest suggestion. Just wanted to take a quick moment to just put that thought in your mind, that if there is something there, you'll, of course, want to make the decision when you're ready to let it go. So that said, let's go ahead and dive back in. We're going to go into a little bit more of the shifting, and then also some of the complexities. You'll be able to see that and kind of how different layers can work. And so that's where we're going, and let's dive in. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment, right? And actually, if I ask you, okay, what's the level of pain in your hip? What's your level?
It's gone down. It's like a 2.
It's like a 2. Nice. Very nice. And bingo. Bingo. So what I have is about a 2. And here we go. That. Bingo. I want you to notice that part of you, that voice inside your head that's really hard on yourself for perfectionism. And if I ask you in the last week how hard you've been on yourself about needing to be perfect, how much would you say that is?
Oh, probably 75% of the time, 90% of the time.
Great. So what I want you to do is go ahead and keep do that. Let me know how that goes for you.
I don't like it.
How do we make her that voice be nice?
Oh, got to keep connecting in to source, God.
Okay. So if I ask you moving forward, bingo, that, bingo. And I'm going to ask you, what's your mom's first initial?
M.
Bingo. Okay. Bingo. And if I ask you how much it felt like she was really hard on you, how much would you say that is?
90% of the time.
Okay. And, bingo.
My dad was the same way.
Mm-hmm. And, bingo. And so just for a moment, if you think about it, were you hard on your daughters?
Yes, I think so. I tried not to be, but I was probably harder on them than I wished I was.
When you were hard on them, why were you hard on them?
Because I just wanted the best for them.
What?
Because I just wanted the best for them. I was trying
what?
To be. I wanted the best for them.
Ah, okay, great. So just for a moment, can you take that in?
Yes.
And how much do you still want the best for them?
100%.
That's terrible. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to breathe for a moment. And I want you to notice all of that voice of feeling like your mom was hard on you. Was it perfect?
No.
No. What did she have? Good intentions.
Yes, she did.
She had good intentions, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Was it perfect?
No.
No. Bingo. Your mom wanted the best for you,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't necessarily go about it the best way.
Right.
Right?
Yes. Okay.
But at least she wanted the best for you, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to bring in the awareness that she wanted the best for you, though she didn't go the best way about it, but you really wanted the best for you, and you wanted the best for your kids. And maybe there was times when it wasn't the best way, but you were trying, you had good intentions. And have you learned that kindness and even more supportive and more love is even better, right?
Yeah. Yes, okay. Absolutely.
And have you been doing that to your daughters?
Yes, I have.
And how's that working out?
Very well.
Awesome. And have you done that towards Marilee?
Not 100% of the time. That's for sure.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment and picture what that would look like doing that towards yourself moving forward. Beautiful. Good intentions are great. Mm-hmm. And that you learn from your mother's voice, at least she wanted the best for you, but like tweaking it how you did it. Like people in general used to use typewriters. Now computers are a lot more efficient. So we're getting better at things. Certain things are more efficient, right?
Yes.
So, and so if you think about it for a moment, you've learned that, hey, you know what? Okay, her wanting the best for you, that's nice. And her way of doing it, not the greatest. And if you think about it, you know, even the social studies thing, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. And she wanted to make sure she had a smart daughter, right?
Yes.
So she wanted the best. Is that the best way to handle it? Absolutely not. But she was trying. She wanted to make sure that you did, that you were smart, which if you think about it, having a woman who was smart, how big of a deal was that at that time?
It was a huge deal. My parents, my mom had a master's degree and my dad was a lawyer. So my dad, brother was a genius. So it was everything to them.
Okay. And out of curiosity, can you appreciate that you are smart?
Yes.
Right. So they cared about your education. Again, not the perfect way to handle it. And so just for a moment, I want you to think about your parents. And I want you to realize just for a moment, they had good intentions and they were not perfect.
Yes.
Okay, now I want you to notice that strive for perfection in you and that voice that's hard on yourself. And I want you to realize there's a better way to do it. God, give us the gift of life, and you want to do it a better way so you enjoy it even more. And so I want you to notice that harsh voice of feeling guilt, perfection, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to ask you to ease it up and remember there's a better way. I'm going to ask you just for a moment. Now that you know, and you've done this with your daughters, and you've been successful at it, and it works,
yes,
that you can do it with yourself also. And so moving forward, if I ask you to picture that you actually do it for yourself, and it works even better, you feel better, your body feels better, your life feels better, because you also realize that that hard, harsh voice wasn't optimal. Is that doable?
Yes. Absolutely.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to picture what that would look like if you really change that voice in your head to one that's nicer, one that's loving, realizing that works better. Bingo. And knowing that your mom lives with you now, is that correct?
No, she's in Indiana. So I've been watching a long distance. Whoops. Oh, no. There we go.
Okay. So she's in Indiana. Okay. She's just out of the hospital there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And is your mom still really, really hard on you?
No.
What?
No, she's not.
Can you take that in?
Yes.
So who's the person that's being hard on you?
Myself.
Okay. And... is she ready to be nice?
Yes.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to picture what that looks like and what that would feel like. Bingo. All right. And I'm going to ask you to notice the level of pain in your hip. What's your level?
Like a one.
Okay. And I also want you to notice your neck, how that feels.
It's probably like a one. It's gone down.
Yeah, that one did too, right? And so I noticed multiple areas of your body are actually shifting right now. And bingo. So give me 1 second. Bingo. All right. So let's go ahead and pause this and break it down a little bit. First and foremost, I know that sometimes the way I approach things is completely unconventional, and that's really because ultimately what I'm doing is I'm speaking to what's in people's minds. You know, I'm tapping in to the specific thing. And, you know, as interesting as it might seem, there is a big difference between fear and afraid and terrified or scared or guilt or shame. I mean, these emotions all have a huge difference. And so a lot of times when I'm working with somebody, you'll notice, you know, I might tap into different things. And the reason for that is because, of course, it's completely unconventional, but I want to speak to what is in their mind. Because if I'm going to help somebody to get real results, you know, when they've had pain for 30 plus years or sickness or different things like that, it is a bit unconventional, and it's definitely a different approach, but I've also got to speak to directly what's going on in their mind. And by the way, speaking of which, I think this is also another perfect example, and this is really ultimately why you want to get really good at your mind. Because even if we think about this segment right here, I know I've said before that I make it look easy to help people shift out of pain and different things like that. And I do. I mean, I make it look ridiculously easy. If you think about it for a moment, in this segment, it feels like I'm really just kind of focused on the punishment aspects of things. But really, I'm working on about 7 different things in her mind right now. And so ultimately, like when I stop and I'm looking at what things specifically will shift multiple things in her brain simultaneously. And so kind of like one of them is, of course, I mean, obviously her punishing herself, but there are specific aspects of it that need to be shifted. And so part of what it is really shifting not only her punishing towards self and her letting that okay with God, but also a different way of treating herself. Also, a key place is making it okay with her daughters, with herself. And this is key. And I'll even explain how this shows up later, by the way, because it shows up again later in a specific way with her daughter. And so I'll share that with you. But there's that. There's also energy towards her mom. And also there's a deep feeling like her mom doesn't really appreciate her. And, you know, so all of these pieces I'm actually hitting on at the same time. Now, she didn't really actually mention, so we haven't fully talked about her mom not appreciating her. But if you remember back in the very beginning, she was talking about her mom getting out of the hospital and different things like that. So that's part of where the energy came in. And then I could see it here as well. And so there a lot of times are different pieces. So you may not known it was there, but she knows it's there. And my point in that is that it's so important for each of us to know our minds, to know when something's a problem, to know when it's not, and when it is, to know how to release it and to really master your mind. I mean, ultimately, you want to get really good at understanding, okay, this way of thinking, this way of feeling is a problem. I want to shift this. You want to get so, so good with your mind. But either way, that's point being is that even though it may have looked like I was focusing on one thing and maybe doing it in an unconventional way, there were really several things that I was shifting in. So she was bringing in feelings of love, letting go of punishment, feeling a shift with her daughters. I mean, there was a lot of key things that I needed to help her to make that shift. And so just coaching her through those. So that said, again, we'll see more how this really comes all together. I'll talk about that at the end. But point being is, again, you'll want to know how to use your mind, because when you feel empowered and when you know what's not there, what shouldn't be there and what should be there and what to release and how to release it and all of that, it's so key. And so that said on this, though, I don't want to throw too many curveballs at you at once. And again, I would stick with the feeling of if there's a perfectionism going on or a self-punishment or feeling bad for not feeling perfect, I would focus on that specifically, because if you try to change too many things all at once, you get lost in it. It's like the feeling of spring cleaning your entire house at the same time. Bad plan. But of course, if you do it in a methodical, logical way, step by step, easy, and it's awesome. So of course, that's what you want to do. And just sticking with the one specific thing would be really great. And so that said, let's go ahead and dive back in. Okay. So if you start being really, really hard on your daughters, if you start being really, really, really hard on them, is that going to help them succeed?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. And so I want you to notice the part of the voice that feels like you have to be hard on yourself to get yourself to succeed. Can you see that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that would be really helpful for your daughters, right? If you start being really hard on them?
No, not at all.
Okay. So if you're loving and supportive, how's that going to do? All right. So I want you to picture the next 10 years, you're really, really, really hard on them. Mm. How do they feel? And how successful are they compared to?
They would be less successful. I think it would impair their functioning.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you to picture for the next 5 to 10 years, you're really, really, really supportive and encouraging to them. How would they do?
It would blossom.
You'd blossom. Mm-hmm. And so if I ask you, what do you want to do? Blossom?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
So are you really, really willing to make that change?
Yes.
Okay. So I want you to notice the part of your head that says, if I'm not hard on myself, I could fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that.
Okay. So if you think about it, bingo, if you're really, really, really hard on your husband for the next 5, 10 years, how would that go?
Not well.
And if you're loving and supportive and encouraging, how does that go?
Fantastic.
Okay. Could you imagine if you believed I have to be really, really, really hard on him and then he's going to be successful?
That wouldn't work. Not at all.
Great. So I want you to notice the part in your mind that feels like you have to be hard on yourself to be successful. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you to bring in the awareness that that's backwards thinking.
Yes.
Have you ever heard before of a cutter, somebody who cuts themselves?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. And so that's obviously they have it linked up that, you know, it can bring relief or some type of euphoria. Like and they feel that way, right?
Yes.
And so I want you to notice this part of you that feels like being hard on yourself is actually helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take in the awareness that that's flipping crazy.
Yeah.
And ask you to breathe and bring in the awareness that it's safer, it's better, and it's more successful if you're encouraging and supportive towards yourself. It's safer, it's better, it's more successful if you are encouraging and loving towards yourself or towards your husband or towards your daughters. That's what's going to help you to blossom. That's what's going to help you to flourish. And so just for a moment, I want you to remember that's what's going to help you flourish. That's what's going to help you succeed. And you've had this linked up the wrong way. Bingo. So I'm going to ask you just for a moment. Bingo. I'm going to ask you if you want to hold on to guilt and feeling bad and all of that, or if you're willing to actually shift into feeling loving and supportive towards yourself.
I'm willing to feel loving and supportive to myself.
100%.
100%.
Okay, and how much of the guilt are you wanting to hold on to?
0%.
How much?
0.
Great. Take that in. So how much of the guilt are you holding on to and the feeling bad and all of that next year and the year after that and the year after that? How much?
0.
Great. And can you notice what that looks like?
Such relief and so much joy and peace.
Bingo. All right. So I'm going to ask you to notice your level of pain.
Just almost gone.
Bingo. Almost gone. Bingo. Let me see. Looking for it. Bingo. There's a little part of you that doesn't trust yourself to, trust yourself, bingo, to make that change. Can you see that part?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so if I ask you, if you're going to make this change for real, you're really going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? If you've been thinking this in the same way for, 60 to 23, all of that, for over a week. So you've been thinking in that way with this voice, if you were really, really going to reinforce this and change this, what do you think you would need to do to make that really change?
I guess we'll just have to keep shifting back to God, to my spirit within me and God, just to that awareness that I'm perfect the way I am.
All right. So first and foremost, awesome job with her energy. And so notice she mentioned that her pain was pretty much gone, you know, barely there, which is awesome to go from level 3 or 4 of pain or any level of pain down to pretty much gone. Now, there's a few things that I want to point out. First and foremost, you know, I don't want to push her to perfection to where it's completely zero, because if I push, then it could actually trigger her back in the thing of perfection. And so obviously I want to help her to get it in even more into her subconscious mind without pushing. I want her to program it in. And so that's what we're going to work on. And, you know, if you've been listening to some of the past episodes, you'll notice there are sometimes when I really push people. I mean, even if you think about the last episode for a moment, I mean, the woman was literally losing her ability to walk. She had a lot of different things going on. And when somebody's at the point where they're losing their ability to walk, as long as it's not their trigger emotion, I'll push and push to help them to see that they can make that shift. Because obviously being able to walk is a big deal. And so so that said, you know, I'll push when it's right, but when it's not the greatest thing, I'll push to a point, and then I know where to just kind of take it to a place where it just needs some more programming. And that's where she is right now. And so even as you're working with your own mind, you know a level to push yourself. So you want to definitely maybe do some pushing to create the change, but always, always, always above everything, you'll want to lovingly support yourself. And so notice when I asked her how she was going to get it in, she said, of course, you know, just have being perfect and knowing she is perfect with God, and getting it into her, you know, letting her soul know that and connecting her soul with God. But likely it'll take a bit more, because part of the thing is if she tells herself that she is perfect to God, part of her brain is probably going to go, nope, but you weren't perfect. You did this, you did that. And so part of it's also going to be just realizing that she doesn't need to be perfect, and she doesn't need to not be perfect. I mean, being great is great. Having a good heart and having a desire to bring things in the right way, you know, to do the right thing and all of that, that's great. And of course, everybody's always growing and changing. And I hope that, you know, she mentioned she's in her 60s now. You know, I hope when she's 80, she's still growing and changing and doing different things. And that's how I want to be. When I'm like 80, 90 years old, I still want to be like growing and changing and all of that. And so, so loving yourself as you are now is key, because even when you were 2, you were growing and changing and learning more and doing more, and whatever new adventure you were into, which at age 2 years old was probably a lot of adventures you were into at the age of 2. I know, you know, those 2-year-olds. And so either way, point being is that there's always different things. And if we have to be perfect at something, it's hard to start something new, and it's hard to really enjoy life. And we're too hard on ourselves, and it's not optimal. So either way, really, I gave her a way to start getting it in her mind. Now, there are a lot of different ways to really create a shift. One of them has to do with perspective, but, you know, just looking at things in a different perspective in a different way. So I'm just going to add in a piece with her, and I'd invite you as you're listening to this to maybe see if there's something that you can take for you in your life and start to implement that to help you create this shift in your life, if this is a problem area for you. So that said, we're going to do that. Then I want to talk to you about a few changes that Marilee was able to make as a result of this, meaning that after we did this, I did a little bit of a follow-up with her, and I'll talk about what that is, but, you know, just a little bit kind of to check in after her and I met. So, but here we go with the next piece of just looking at some of the things that I had her do to start making the shift. So let's go ahead and dive in. Okay. So this is what I would recommend is, what if you did this? Like, stop for a moment and you said, for my daughters to flourish, I know that if I'm encouraging and super supportive, that they're going to literally flourish. And if I'm really hard on them and require them to be perfect so much so that they feel stressed out about being perfect, it's not going to go well. Mm-hmm. And I know if I did that to my husband, it's not going to go well. If I stress mm-hmm. him out for perfection and all of that and make him feel guilty and bad for every little thing. But if I lovingly encourage him and support him, he's going to flourish. Mm-hmm. And so if I know that, the same is true about myself. I've got to be encouraging and supportive. And if I stress myself out about every little thing in perfection and feeling bad about it, I'm not going to live the life that God asked me to live. And I'm also not going to become and be able to enjoy this life. So instead, mm-hmm. if I just am encouraging and supportive, that's what's going to help me to flourish. Now, when you think about that for a moment, how does that make you feel?
Beautiful. That feels great.
Okay. And so if I ask you, even after I say that, does that make you, if I ask you, if I said, sure, go ahead and keep being hard on yourself, what would you say?
I don't want to continue doing that.
Beautiful. So I'm going to say that again. Sure. Go ahead. Keep being hard on yourself and stressing yourself out about perfection. The rest of us are going to enjoy life and have good intentions.
I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do that? What are you going to do instead?
I'm going to be loving and easy on myself and
encouraging.
Okay.
And so just for a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you just to use that internal voice in your mind to hear what that would sound like to be loving and encouraging and sweet to yourself. To just notice what that sounds like and what that feels like. To be loving and encouraging and sweet to yourself and encouraging and positive. Notice what that sounds like. Could you get used to that voice?
Yes.
Bingo.
I have to practice it.
All right. So first and foremost, isn't she a sweetheart? You just have to love this woman. She's so sweet. She has such a genuine heart, like a do good, be good type of person. And I love that. And I'm so excited for her to really get rid of this pattern completely. And really just start embracing herself even more. And so that said, a few things on that note, you know, first and foremost, she got her pain under level one. And as I mentioned, I didn't want to push her to perfection because that would likely 90% chance that would be a trigger for her. But I do want to say that I asked her to follow through and to start doing this. And I did follow up with her a week after, and I followed up just with her to see how things were going. And so a few things is, first and foremost, she's made progress. She's made awesome progress, and some really cool things happened. Just to name a few, I mean, of course, on this call and working with everything, she was able to change pain in multiple areas. So she changed pain in like her neck, her shoulders, her hip, and she did that with her mind. So I love that. And also another thing that came from it that I thought was really, really sweet was that she had followed up with her daughter. And after this, she had a really heartfelt moment with her daughter where she just apologized for not being perfect. And there's just, and kind of just had a healing with her daughter in a beautiful, beautiful way. And she mentioned she just feels really close to her. And I thought that was, it brought a happy tears to my eyes. It just the sweetest, sweetest thing. So I love that. And I love that for her. And, you know, just around this whole Mother's Day time anyway, I mean, just a lot of beautiful things. And so there was that. Another thing that happened is that she followed up with her doctor after this, and her iliopsoas muscle was firing. And her doctor was amazed to see her muscle now firing. And also since then, now she's been able to work out and do like I don't know, like 6 or 7 or 8, I don't know exactly, but exponentially more physical exercise than she had been prior to this. So she sees huge difference. Her doctor sees a difference in her muscle firing. So it's actually working now in her hip, which is awesome. And so beautiful. And there's also her pain is a lot less, but it comes back. And so she's like at a lower level. And so she's working on, of course, getting in the rest of the way and making that change and being supportive of herself. So I love that. And it's so beautiful. And she's just the sweetest thing. I just want to hug this woman. She's so sweet. But, and she also was like, oh my God. Okay. So she actually signed up for the video set and my video set and whatnot, because she's like, okay, I want to do this and do more of it and continue growing. And I think it's beautiful. And, you know, when I work with somebody, I don't know, it's just, I don't think you can care for somebody without caring for somebody. And you just, I don't know, she's got just, it's all the time. I'll just say this, but I don't know, just touched a sweet, sweet, wonderful place in my heart. And I'm excited for her and I'm excited for where her life is headed. And I love that she can see the power of her mind. And I love that she's making these shifts and it's just beautiful. And so that said, you know, from all of this, guys, you know, whether perfectionism has been an issue for you or it hasn't, either way, right now in the world more than ever, you're going to want to lovingly support you, to be nice to you, to be kind to you, to be good to you, and to lift you, and not have to be perfect and stress out about that. Because, you know, again, I know that some people are kind of in everybody's, again, in a different place. And so whatever that is for you, maybe your life is completely unaffected by this whole COVID thing. Maybe you're making a lot of changes right now. Maybe you're working more on your health right now. Maybe you're working on multiple aspects right now. Whatever it is, my biggest suggestion is for you to just lovingly support yourself in whatever area of growth that is for you. And so that said, I hope you take something from this and work on implementing it to bring it in to your life. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode to take it to the next level. I'll see you there. Thank you for listening to Heal Yourself, Change Your Life. I love connecting with you. And if you love the show or you learned something, please be sure to hit the subscribe button and make sure to share it with the people around you. The more you share it, the more we can change our world for the better. Also, I love hearing from you. If you'd like to send me any questions or comments, please visit me at brandygilmore.com/podcast. And if you're currently experiencing physical pain and would like to be a volunteer on the show, you can sign up there as well. Lastly, please remember, if you have any health issues, you won't want to avoid your doctor. Instead, you'll want to continue to work with them and make it your goal to blow their mind with what you are capable of with your mind. Thank you.